McGuire and Patsy. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to open them up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. We'll be reading from verses 28 through 31. And the prophet Isaiah writes, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his hands and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Isaiah is speaking to the Jews who have gone into Babylonian captivity. They are far from their home, and as might be expected, they are discouraged, they are downhearted, and they are depressed. They were fighting, and they were faint-hearted in a faraway land filled with nothing but strangers to them. Their life seemed hard and helpless, and they were horribly homesick in that heathen land that they had found themselves. In his book, Hope for Each Day, the late evangelist Billy Graham wrote, "Never in history have the nations of the world possessed so many lethal arrangements, so many ways to bring death and destruction to the human race. Some of our most brilliant minds spend their entire lives developing new and more sophisticated ways to destroy life. According to Abort 73, 879,000 abortions took place in the United States in 2017 alone. That's 879,000 of God's creation that was destroyed because of so-called freedom of choice. Just after the beginning of this year, on January the 23rd, five people were killed in a hostage incident and shooting at a bank in Sabine, Florida. The suspect was taken into custody by police. 3 days later, on January the 26th, a 21-year-old man killed five people, including his parents, in two parishes in Louisiana. The day after Valentine's Day, in Aurora, Illinois, a 45-year-old man opened fire at a Henry Platt Company plant, killing at least five people, injuring at least six others. He was a former employee at the plant, and he was killed in a shootout with police. March 3rd, here in Sanford, North Carolina, the family of 80-year-old Norma Smith Brown, a faithful saint of God, longtime member of Central Baptist Temple, found murdered to death after she was robbed on her kitchen floor in her home. Her assailant, Kenneth Earl Allen, is now facing the death penalty. Just last month, April 27th, a shooting in Chadbad in Poway, California. One person was killed and three were wounded by the shooter. Just this past Tuesday, April 30th, two innocent lives were taken and four others injured on the campus of UNC Charlotte on the last day of classes. The student gunman was taken into custody as he ran out of ammunition. Friday afternoon, just after 1 p.m., NCANT University in Greensboro put on lockdown after an armed man threatened to kill a student there on campus. Some 2 hours later, the suspect was taken into custody and the lockdown lifted. Just last night, after 10 p.m., 32-year-old Jordan Harris Sheldon, a K-9 officer with the Mooresville Police Department, was fatally shot while conducting a routine traffic stop. The suspect took his own life. Church, I truly believe we are living in some of the darkest and final days. For Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is full of evil imaginations, that is, hearts are deceitful and wicked. Even so, amidst all of the tragedies I've noticed and countless others, in this uncertain and threatening world in which we are living today, we can have peace. That is, we can have the peace of God that comes solely by putting our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. Defeating an earthly enemy will never bring about peace. Creating the most devastating weapon will not prove any strength whatsoever. Only those who learn to wait on the Lord and the ones who experience perfect peace and strength, strength that doesn't fade or wither regardless of the events taking place around them. We must always look above the immortal and eternal one who is always faithful to us. Church, we need to lift our eyes to the everlasting hills, for that is where our help will come from. We must forever look to the one who is our author and finisher of our faith, for it is His firm hand that never fails. We must reach up to the ones whose love and light never dims or diminishes or dies. If God's people would just dedicate themselves to Him, the Lord would protect and bless them. For we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive them of their sin and heal their land." That was one of the focal points at the National Day of Prayer held this past Thursday, as several local pastors and community citizens gathered outside of City Hall at noon to pray for our community, our world, and our country. We must learn to wait upon the Lord, for our God is a powerful warrior, and He is oh so gentle to us in His strength. Just think how important that image is to His people that were slaving all day long in the hot sun, making bricks on the river in the banks of Babylon. Their God is not only strong enough to defeat the false pagan deities of the Babylonians, but He can snatch them from that bondage and carry them away to their home gently and tenderly in His everlasting arms. How we need this today, how we need this assurance in the weary world of woe in which we wage spiritual warfare day in and day out in our daily lives. Even more, we need the assurance each and every moment of each day. How we need a strong and gentle shepherd to love and lead us in our lonely journey between here and the hereafter in glory. Rest assured, there is coming a day when there will be no more heartaches. There will be no more clouds in the sky, and there will be no more tears that dim the eye. We will have peace forevermore on a happy and golden shore. Those that wait patiently upon the Lord will have power over temptation's deadly defeats. It's a known fact, church, we live in a dirty dog-eat-dog world. The ever-increasing power of evil surrounds us on every hand. The hopeless and helplessness of our flesh prevail in the battle for right and is demonstrated again and again in our contemporary spiritual struggle. The battle against sin within and without seems to have no end. It is attempting to become downhearted and fall captive and discouraged and to display a defeated spirit as the exiles did. After all, this world is not our home. We're not on a continuing abode here. We're just travelers passing through on this journey. For we yearn for a land that is far away, that city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God. As Sanford F. Bennett's hymn has it, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by far we can see it, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. God's promise to give us strength for our day, and He will more than match the power of the all-encompassing temptations that besiet us here on this earth. Here we are using physical imaginary to convey the idea of spiritual strength. But He will give us the much-needed moral and inner strength to keep on keeping on. He will renew it day by day. He will renew our spiritual strength, and it can be for us, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. When we wait patiently upon the Lord, we find the full fruition of the prophet's words to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6, saying, "Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." These discouraged and downcast captives were challenged daily by their captors to sing in the songs of Zion. The temptation to surrender to bitterness and defeat was always there around them. We're in the same situation. As we wearily walk through this world of woe, we will be tempted with daily discouragement. But we have the precious promise that if we wait patiently upon the Lord, he will provide the power to soar above the tall pinnacles of disaster that threaten us here. With every temptation that he who bears us upon his everlasting wings provides a way of escape. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has ever overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so you that a way out so that you can endure it." But the lesson Isaiah is urging us is unique and difficult for the human mind to accept. We must have faith that he is always there. He is always right by our side. You know, I can't even fathom, church, how unbelievers make it in life. I just don't understand it. Without faith, we're hopeless. It's as simple as that, church. Without faith, we are a hopeless people. We must always patiently let go of self and let God operate in our lives. That seems to be the import of what the writer of the Hebrew letter was saying in Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The meaning and context of this simple statement indicates that those who are facing great challenges must believe that he not only is alive and well on planet Earth, but he is operating in the affairs of his people to bring about the utmost good for them. We cannot win the battle alone, church. It is only through our strength and faith in God that we win the battle that we wage day in and day out. For the road of Christian living is littered with debris of failure left behind by those who are not patiently waiting for the resources of God that only he can make available through his marvelous and matchless grace. Deadly defeat and disaster are unnecessary when we wait upon the Lord and are borne up by the wings of his powerful Spirit and above the valleys of doubt and despair. We need to but always remember the words we read in 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." When Peter looked away from his powerful Lord and impatiently reached out for a fleshly solution, our Savior told him that Satan was seeking to sift him through his shaken sieve. But Christ assured him that he was praying for him that his strength would not fail. Those that wait upon the Lord can have power over discouragement, despair, and depression. God has never guaranteed Christians immunity from trouble. Although Jesus said that we could come to him and have life more abundantly, he wasn't inferring that life would be a rose garden or we would be born to heaven on flowery beds of ease. The Christian life wasn't necessarily designed to be easy. Jesus said that in this world we shall have trouble. After all, did not he? Think about the cruel, blood-wrenching death that he faced on the cross at Calvary when the crown of thorns was placed on his head and nails were pierced into his hands and feet as he was crucified for you and me. The tug of the world and the pull of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in opposite directions guarantees inevitable trouble for the Christian. Those that truly wait upon the Lord need never become dependent upon chemical solutions for their problems. My experience indicates that many addicts begin their downhill journey by attempting to deal with drowning defects of their ordinary daily irritations and afflictions with alcohol and drugs. It is reported that in 2017, in the United States alone, 72,000 deaths were related to drug overdose. We read in Isaiah 40:31, "But those whose hope is in the Lord shall renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint." Isn't it fascinating that God made different types of birds with radically different sorts of wings designed to fit their particular needs and environment? The eagle is a soaring bird. His wings are aerodynamically designed for soaring. The eagle loves storms and the winds that would be considered adverse and destructive by the ordinary bird. He simply effortlessly spreads his wings and catches the updrifts and peacefully soars far above the buffering winds without even having to flap his wings. What a beautiful analogy God uses in this simple smile. We have the ultimate power of the holy wind of God to lift us above the terrible twin pack of discouragement and despair. And all we have to do is spread our wings amidst the raging winds and storms of life, and we will be borne freely into the heights of the wonderful calm of His presence and His peace. In his sermon, "They That Wait Upon the Lord," Pastor John White writes, "In 1976, I was privileged to spend a number of weeks in the Solomon Islands with missionary Neil Morley. We were ministering to and teaching groups and indigenous pastors. It was necessary for us to fly from one island to another, and we were blessed to have missionary aviation fellowship flights available to us. I will never forget a flight back from a remote village on the island of Malaria to the main town of Harare. A storm arose just as we were preparing for takeoff in the seaplane. The pilot was obviously quite concerned. He would have to fly over a mountain range. He told us he had no choice because there was a medical emergency. As we headed out directly into the storm, the clouds became very dark and ascended high into the heavens. It was clear the pilot was praying as hard as we were. Just before we met the storm, he said, 'Pray with me. I'm going to run into the storm. If we are blessed, the leading edge will updraft, will lead us above the storm and over the mountain.' Our prayers were answered. At just the critical moment, the wind caught us and tossed us upward like an autumn leaf. You can hardly imagine the prayer of gratitude that flowed from the heart of his dear little child that day. When I think of our God's promise that we can mount up with wings as eagles, I always think of that awesome and powerful experience," he writes. For someone has said, "It is not the pressures and disasters of life that matter, but it is our response to them." That is to say, our response to the storms we face in our life reveals the authenticity of our faith in God. I'll say that again. It is our response to the storms we face in life that reveals the authenticity of our faith in God. In essence, all of us at some point or another in our life have failed in our response. Church, isn't it way past time that God's people rise above the mediocrity of our own faults and failures and ascend to the heights of the victory God can give those that wait upon Him? A preacher of long ago had this to say on this subject: "God can take every Calvary and turn it into an Easter Sunday. Difficult hours are the raw material of which we weave a garment of praise to glorify God. For we will never have a more greater opportunity to glorify God than when darkness invades our experience and storm clouds from across the clouds of your life. God will reveal Himself to you in unforgettable ways during the sadness and grief that accompanies any tragedy you face. You will learn more about God's power patience, and proximity, when your heart has been broken, than you will by any amount of studying books or trying to learn lessons from the afflictions of others. For our infinite God is also a God of infinitism. He numbers even the smallest hairs on our head. Someone has said he attends the funeral of every sparrow. The poet said, they also serve who stand and wait. So we should not think our dull daily duties are not important in God's grand scheme of things. We are not all called to be big fish in a small pond. For many of us are just little fish in a big pond, but our calling is important to God. For God surely rewards the patient service of those who simply do their best in an obscure, quiet place. Do you remember in Mark 12 our Savior's commendation of the tiny offering the widow brought and made no mention of those that were casting their large gifts? It would be well to recall this promise to those that give a cup of water in His name. Sometimes it takes the greatest gift and determination to keep on dutifully doing our daily task in face of the dull and monotonous pace of ordinary life. When all is said and done, all should be said and done to please and glorify God. There are two different verses of Scripture that come to mind at this point, and that is Malachi 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God. In 1 Corinthians 4:2, now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove themselves faithful. Last August, in an upper room devotional, a young lady from Missouri named Danielle Ripley Burgess wrote this: as the day of my annual colonoscopy approached, I was filled with anxiety that my cancer might be returned. Just 1 year prior, the doctor had found and removed several non-cancerous polyps. Though I had beaten colon cancer twice before, the what-ifs overwhelmed me. Finally, I'd had enough. I was tired of feeling defeated. I began to pray in a different way. I got real honest with God about how angry I was over my cancer diagnosis, which began at the age of 17, and the high risk of cancers I faced because of a rare genetic condition. I led myself to grieve the loss of my health, my fertility, and my carefree teen years. The tears flowed and flowed until one day they stopped. I began to sense God's presence in my grief and started to notice how negative I had allowed my thoughts to become. I resolved not to let negativity dominate me and the things around me, for they had been there all along, but I needed God's help to see them. When the day of my colonoscopy came, I looked for blessings. I found many. Words of admiration for my strength, a warm blanket in the exam room, a blueberry scone after my procedure. Hugs from family after the procedure, and a sense of freedom to openly share my story once again. She finishes with this: if we let God show us the positives, our fears will be replaced with new hope. Again, if we let God show us the positives, our fears will be replaced with new hope. Sounds like Danielle is learning to fly. Jesus said, come to me, you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Life is difficult, and the challenges we face can be so severe that even the young will grow weary and faint. But those that surrender their lives completely to God, Isaiah has a word of deep encouragement. Our strength will be renewed. We will soar on wings like eagles. And you know, the older and wiser I get, I'm actually finding out this is true. I'm learning to fly. How about you? Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you are the strength and sustainer of our faith amidst all the storms that we face in this life, Lord. And we thank you for the promise in your word, Lord, that there is a land that is far greater than this one we're traveling on here, that will be free from these storms and trials of life that we face. I pray that you would speak to us now as we go into our invitational time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isn't it way past time that God's people come to renew their hope and strength in Him, so they too will soar on wings like eagles? You come as the Spirit leads us as we stand and sing our invitational hymn, number 309, Lord, I'm Coming Home.